Talk to us about that first visit. You walk into what room and how does that work?
Yeah, the way it works in the Vatican is it's a labyrinth. And you go through one room, you go through another big room where there's a big white marble chair. That's where the popes used to actually sit when they received dignitaries. I joked with the president when we were walking through there. I said, you know, up until about 30 years ago, the pope would have been sitting on that when he's talking with you. But anyway, not anymore. And you go around the corner through a couple more rooms. You get to the end and you're just outside the papal library, which is the one they always use. Got the big books on the end, bookcases. That's the papal library. Just outside of it, there's an El Greco painting. A lot of that kind of stuff there. So we get down to that. They open the door, and we go in. We do photos with the Pope. Actually, we do the photos in an anteroom called the Ambassador's Receiving Room. We do all the pictures. My mother and aunt from Florida were there. Aunt Eileen was going to come, Aunt Eileen Ugly, but her doctor wouldn't let her travel. She was in failing health at the time. In fact, that's a different story about that. I think I put it in the book about asking my aunts to come. But anyway, I took all the pictures. Then Kathleen and the kids, mom, all left. They shut this huge door. It's just me and a pope sitting around a table just like this in his library. And I thought, this is really something. And I was nervous. I couldn't even really talk at first. And so he started talking. So then I finally got my deal going because I had some things that I was supposed to say.
So he put you at ease.
He did.
He could read immediately that you were.
In fact, I said, I imagine this happens all the time, doesn't he? He said, yeah, it does happen a lot. He's kind of a sense of humor, you know.
What is it about that moment? You're never at a loss for words, but you were then. What brings that on?
You're sitting there in the Apostolic Palace. It's built, started in the 12th century and finished in the 14th or 15th. You've gone through all these cotton-picking rooms, which I think there's a strategy. It's kind of like the warm-up bouts. You get in there, and they shut the door, and you're in the Pope's library. Every Pope's been sitting there for 600 years, and you're sitting there with the Pope. I had hardly even knew any bishops before we'd got this job. The two that buried Dad, Bishop Gander and Beltran, here, and I knew Bishop Slattery here, and those are about the only bishops I'd ever met.
To make small talk with the Pope, it's hard to say, hi, how are you, like we say here, huh?
Exactly, you know, so I couldn't talk at all. So he started speaking, and then I started speaking. I said a couple of things are really important to the president of the First Amendment, and he said, the First Amendment has been a great experiment. It's worked out very well for the United States. We talked a little bit how it might be good for Europe to have had that at different times, separation of church and state. And I knew from having a brief that he was really clued in on the First Amendment, had actually made some talks about it at Notre Dame, in fact. So he knew the United States. We talked about the Iraq situation and how we were hoping we could put the disagreements of the Holy See behind us, and he was all for that. He said, I'm basically starting a new regime here. I'm not going to carry over any old disagreements about Iraq. We want to work together to hopefully make the best of a tough situation for the people there and the Christians. And just talked about a whole laundry list of things that were important to the White House and the State Department.
Because the church opposed the U.S. involvement in Iraq.
Very much so.
You came prepared to defend that, no doubt, and he just kind of waved that off, and that was not going to be an argument.
Right. He said, I think enough's been said about Iraq. And he was right. Enough had been said, enough negative. Part of my job was to keep criticism of Iraq as muted as possible over there. And there were a few stone throwers in the Curia that were always shooting off about Iraq this, Iraq that. And by and large, they stayed pretty quiet for almost the whole time we were there. There's one time the Pope spoke up after a particularly heinous level of violence around Easter. He spoke up at his Easter morning Urbi et Orbi message about Iraq. But that was really the only time the Pope ever got into it. So I felt pretty good about doing my job anyway.
And your book, The Global Vatican, I suggest everybody should read, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
The Pope wanted to bring stability to the region and Islam fundamentalism, and he said there were two Mohammeds.
We were talking about the Quran and the problem of using the Quran for justifying violence and some of the harsh language in the Quran. He said, well, the problem is which Mohammed shows up. The Mohammed in the early surahs is very evangelistic, religious-oriented, nurturing, prayerful, merciful. I know that sounds strange to believe with Islam, and it is. But then the later surahs, as Mohammed became more aggressive, are more conquistatorial, more territorial, and more violent words. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that read without the context of 2,000 years of interpretation can be fairly harsh sounding as well. So that seems to be one of the challenges for Islam, is to have them interpret their Quran in a way that's consistent with the modern world. That's kind of what the Pope was getting at. So the Quran's got something in there for everybody. We just get the right people using the right part.